We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us and guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to have a little kind of a lesson today on how to approach Scripture. And I'll start out by saying this, that good commentators can be a blessing to us. But the key thing is always to remember to start by praying for the Holy Spirit yourself and studying from Scripture. And then, if you want to look at what somebody else has to say, that's fine. But it should never be the other way around. You should never start with a commentary, because you can be misled by them and hid, and the truth can be hidden. So we're looking today at Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, the lost coin. And kind of a flashback here. In chapters 15 and 16, Luke gives us parables which are only found in his gospel, and they're extremely precious. The first of these parables features the Good Shepherd. We looked at that last week. The second zeroes in on a woman. In both cases, something is lost: a sheep and a silver coin. In both cases, the lost was being searched for and found. The shepherd was seeking for the lost sheep. The woman was seeking for the lost silver coin. In one case, there were 100 sheep. In the other, 10 coins. In both cases, only one was lost: one sheep, one coin. And in both cases, there was joy in heaven that the lost was found. So last week we looked at the parable of the lost sheep and the shepherd who sought for and found the lost sheep is easily identified. The shepherd is a type of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's very, very clear. In the parable of the lost coin, the woman who found the lost coin is not so easily identified, at least to some people. So let's try to solve the problem. Who is she? We'll read the account. It's only three verses, so it won't take long to read. Jesus speaking: "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So if you look at some of the commentators, and I'm thinking of two that are very good commentators, very good. They're conservative, they understand Scripture, and they're right just about every time. Just about every time. So if you look at one of these two, first, before you look at Scripture, this is what you come out with. The woman in the parable is not the Holy Spirit, it can't be. Why can't it be? And there are some who claim that the woman in the parable is not the Holy Spirit. And so why do they come to this? And mainly two reasons. Reason number one. I'm quoting a commentator. This is not my word. This is their word of why the parable of the lost coin, the woman that found it cannot be the Holy Spirit. This is their thought. Number one, nowhere in Scripture is the Holy Spirit referred to as a woman. And that is totally false. And number two, the Holy Spirit doesn't ever lose anything. Well, twice in the parable it says that the woman did. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver if she lose one piece? So in the parable, the woman loses a piece of silver. She lost it. She did it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. So again, two times she lost it. And that's why this person writes, this woman cannot be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't ever lose anything. Okay, let's look at the two so-called proofs. We'll look at the second proof first. The Holy Spirit doesn't lose anything, ever. And this is blessedly true. Thank God for that the Holy Spirit never loses anything. And when the Holy Spirit converts a person, one of God's very small remnant, Holy Spirit's not going to lose that person, ever. On the other hand, neither does the Son, the Good Shepherd, lose anything. Nor does the Heavenly Father lose anything. We're in the Trinity here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And none of the three are going to lose anything. Thank God for that. And the three persons of the Godhead are all involved here. And the key teaching, this is so important, the key teaching of these first three parables, and we'll look at the third one, God willing, next week if Christ doesn't come back first. I hope he does. But in each of the first three, there's one lost, a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And in each of the first three, the one that is lost was found. Now, we mentioned before that some parables are extremely difficult to understand. And in fact, to a heathen person, they're all difficult to understand. That's why Christ taught in parables. So that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not hear. And so there are some things that are difficult. Some things can be, some things cannot be. So one of the things we mentioned is that in a parable, not everything can be pressed into a spiritual meaning. That's very important to listen to. So it's very important to know. In some parables, there's spiritual applications to every point. It's just loaded with them. In other parables, there is not. In some parables, there's only one main point, and all of the other peripheral points, really, just you can almost discount. You can't press them into a spiritual meaning. That's the point. So, in these first three parables, what is lost, which was one out of 100, one out of what of 10, one out of 2. In each one, the one that was lost is found. And when they're found, in the first two, it specifically mentions there's joy in heaven over the one that was lost. So now the next question would be, well, if some of the parables can be pressed right on down the line for spiritual blessings and others cannot, how are we supposed to tell which ones can be and which ones cannot be? Because that's pretty important. If we don't know that, we're not going to be able to understand the parable correctly. And how do we do this? Rule number one and rule number two. Before you study Scripture, always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And rule number two is never forget rule number one. And if you're praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and earnestly searching, He will guide you to the truth. And the next thing is you have to do what we call compare Scripture with Scripture. It's called the analogy of faith. So you take the parable that you're looking at and you compare it with other parts of Scripture. And a lot of times it's easier to find out what something doesn't mean than to find out what it does mean. But if you find out what it doesn't mean, you're usually pretty close to the truth. So, as for the first proof, nowhere in Scripture, this is not my word, this is the words of this commentator. Nowhere in Scripture is the Holy Spirit referred to as a woman, which is not true. So the one that teaches, and the ones that say the woman in the parable is not the Holy Spirit, they say she can't be, because the Holy Spirit doesn't ever refer to the commentators don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit, Scripture doesn't, as being a woman. They just don't do it. That's what the guy says. So that, therefore, this one can't be. Okay, so the context is always important. And let's look ahead for just a minute, a second, and consider the first three parables in Luke chapter 15. Number one is the shepherd finds the lost sheep. We call it the parable of the lost sheep. Number two, the woman finds the lost coin. We refer to it as the lost coin. And number three, the father finds his lost son. Okay, we're concerned with parable number two. Let's let the children figure this out. Let's let the children figure this out. There's no question who the shepherd is a type of in the first parable. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The children know that. You learn this from your parents in Psalm 23. Which begins this way, "The Lord is my shepherd." So, Jesus Christ is, in parable number one, the good shepherd. The shepherd is the type of Jesus Christ. Now that's okay. So now let's go down to parable number three, which we haven't looked at yet. But that's the parable of the lost son. One of the sons, the man had two sons, and one of them wanted out. And he said, "Give me my share of the inheritance. I want to leave." So he got his share of the inheritance. He left home, and well, he was happy. And away he went. Moved away to a far country, blew his whole inheritance, wasted it. Then the famine came. He didn't have any money. He went to a citizen of the country, and he sent him out to feed the pigs. And the pigs had more to eat than the son did. And he finally came to himself by the grace of God and said, I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to tell my father, I'm not worthy to be your son, but make me as one of your hired servants. So he started back home, but the father was looking for him all this time, searching high and low, looking way, way, way out there, and he saw his son coming, and he ran to him, and he found his lost son. His son came home. So that's the parable. Well, who is the father there a type of? You know that. Children know that. It's a type of God the Father. It's a type of God the Father. So in the parable number one, the shepherd is a type of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. In parable number two, the father that found his lost son is a type of God the Father. Now the question, who is the woman in type two, in parable two, a type of? Who is she a type of? How hard is this? This isn't rocket science. She's a type of the Holy Spirit. So you've got the Trinity involved here in the first three parables in this chapter of Matthew of Luke. You've got the Good Shepherd, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got the Heavenly Father. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that kind of wipes out the first thought of the first point, is that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is never referred to as being a woman. Yes, she is. She's referred to right here, if you have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. There are some things that are the same, right? All three, the shepherd, the woman, and the father, were seeking for something that was lost. All three of them. And all three were successful in finding what was lost. And that being the one that was lost was you and me. This is talking about us. This is our story. And there are only three that could find us and be involved in the finding of us and bringing us from the pit of hell into the kingdom of glory. And those three are the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they work together, and without any one of the three, we would be lost. And that's scriptural. That's scriptural. Okay, so what do we do with the point that two times it's mentioned in the second parable that the woman was the one that lost the coin? And the Holy Spirit doesn't ever lose anything. Well, okay, you don't press that point. There are some points in some parables that you don't press. There is no spiritual application to them. There just isn't. So the fact that the woman twice is mentioned as losing the coin, forget about it. The point is that the coin was lost, and the detail doesn't count here because it doesn't apply. This is how Christ taught these parables. They're not easy to, they're impossible for the heathen people to understand. That's why he taught in parables. Not to make it easier for people. He taught it to hide it from people who are not sincere. That's what he, and now I'm not saying this commentator is lost either, but you have to interpret this, and you have to know what you're doing here. The Holy Spirit is obviously referred as a type of the woman. Otherwise, the first three don't fit together. They just don't. So, and there's many, there are many, by the way, there are many places where the Holy Spirit is referred to as a woman, and especially as a mother. Okay, so references to the Holy Spirit as a mother in Scripture especially. What are they? As I was studying the text, I remembered something that happened when I was at the seminary many, many times. And that is that seminary was located out on the edge of a little village, and there was a field in back of it and some woods behind that. And there was a pheasant that had a nest at the edge of one of the fields out in the woods. And most every Sunday afternoon, I would take a hike out into that field and along the woods to see if I could find the pheasant, and I usually did. And so I did that very, very often. And one Sunday, some of my classmates were going to be playing basketball and over in a gym we had there, and they wanted me to play, and I said I had something else I had to do. And what I wanted to do was start reading scripture from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and see how far I had to read in scripture before I found a reference to the Trinity. So that's what I figured that's going to take me all afternoon and probably half the night. So I started reading in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, I know God created everything, so I got that right. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is in 2, verse 2. And the Spirit of God, capital S, moved upon the face of the waters. The word move, sometimes I believe, is translated hovered. Hovered. And some commentators relate the word to translate it, the Spirit of God was hovering, the hovering of a mother hen over her chicks. So this would be the reference to the Holy Spirit. And verse 3 starts out, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And when you're talking about the Word of God, you're talking about Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, opening verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. So the Word there is Jesus Christ. And you find a reference to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Trinity, in verses 1, 2, and 3, the first three verses of the Bible. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. So, I went back out to the field and hiked out in the woods and found the pheasant. It didn't take me nearly as long as I thought it was going to take. So, we look at something like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy, this is 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit was the one that inspired Scripture. And as the old seminary professor said, every time you read a sentence of Scripture, it's a reference and a type of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wrote that. And here it's moved by the Holy Ghost. There's when the Holy Spirit moves or hovers, there's life. There's life. And it's a reference. All these references are types of the Holy Spirit. One of the clearest ones is in John chapter 3. Now listen to this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So you know the story, but let's listen to it carefully. The same came to Jesus by night. When the Holy Spirit talks about night in Scripture, usually there's a double reference. It's not only that the moon and stars are out. It's that the person involved in the account is in darkness. His soul is in darkness. He's an unbeliever. So Nicodemus comes at night. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know, we are the Pharisees, by the way, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now here's what we want. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, except a man be born, women give birth to children, men do not. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? So he's being born from his mother's womb. And who's the one that's doing the rebirthing? The one that gives him a second birth? Who's the one that does that? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. There's a reference to the Holy Spirit in Scripture, a type of a mother. A type of the mother. So how can you say, nowhere in the Bible is there ever a reference to the Holy Spirit as being a woman? How can you say that? It's not true. Except a man be born, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit's involved here in the birth. The birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now there's an example. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it pleaseth, it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice the comparison of the Spirit with the wind. And in the Greek, it's the same word. The word that's translated wind is the same word that's translated spirit. If there ever was a type of the wind being the Holy Spirit, it's this. It's clear, isn't it? The wind bloweth wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is an example of the Holy Spirit being a type of a woman, of a mother giving birth. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Well, he found out, but that was only by the grace of the Holy Spirit also. Several years ago, I got an email from Christy up in Delano. I think it was Delano, or maybe it was Shakopee. Yeah, she was in Minnesota, I know that. And this is what it said. It's a quote. I just found something incredible and wanted to share with you. You know how I recently started seeing a mother as a type of the Holy Spirit? At first I was thinking woman, But it's definitely the mother role that is being portrayed. Anyway, today I read Psalm 22, verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Wow, I can't believe I read this verse hundreds of times and never saw the spiritual aspect. God making me hope by the Holy Spirit, giving me the milk of the Word. Just a beautiful, clear picture of the mother figure as the Holy Spirit. Just had to share. So that's a precious gem. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a woman, especially a mother, and a life giver, over and over and over again in Holy Writ. So, one of the lessons here is, don't believe everything you read in a commentary. And always go to Scripture first, and then check out, if you want, what a commentator has read. Because they're not always right. We think of the life giver. That's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. So, parable number one in this particular chapter that Luke is writing under guidance of the Holy Spirit, the shepherd refers as a type of the good shepherd. He finds the sheep. The woman finds the lost coin, and she searches diligently for it. I don't know how many men would do this. I wouldn't. My wife would. I wouldn't. She searched diligently, got hands and knees, got a candle out there and was looking into the far recesses of a dark corner diligently and finding it. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And the man that gets his lost son back, that's the Heavenly Father, and he's involved in that too. So thank God for these first three parables in Luke, where he gives us the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. And this is your story and mine. The lost one, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. That's the point. And that's you and that's me. And the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son or child was found. And that's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank God.